scripture comes from Hebrews 12, 1 through 13. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Let us pray. O holy God, thank you for the work of your word in our lives to make us more holy in Christ. Open us up to your holy presence and to the work of your holy word now as we listen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Well, this year's church anniversary has come and gone, but we're still rejoicing in God's faithfulness. That's part of who we are all the time, whatever the occasion. In fact, our message on the church sign points us back to last Sunday's celebration and forward at the same time into continued reliance on the promises of the Lord. Maybe it's similar in a way to keeping that happy birthday banner up on display around the house for a few days, even after the party itself has ended. And now, by God's grace, what's happened? Well, we're several days into our 67th year of worship and work and witness by God's faithfulness. Oliver Wendell Holmes once pointed out, "The great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we are moving. To reach the port of heaven," he says, "we must sometimes sail with the wind and sometimes against it, but we must sail and not drift, nor lie at anchor." So progress toward the goal of God's kingdom and the endurance it takes to get there, those are the two essentials for followers of Jesus. Throughout the scriptures, we see that for people of faith, staying in place or maintaining the status quo or maybe going backwards in some way, these aren't really options. What matters is progress toward the goal of Christ, toward his reign in the world and in our lives. That's the hope of glory. And that hope of glory isn't something that we achieve or that we accomplish or that we bring in by our own human effort. It's the promise of God. It's the gift of God. It's something that we're supposed to grow into by receiving that gift and mature into it through faithfulness and perseverance. Go back to that quote I shared with you from Oliver Wendell Holmes. He spoke of progress in terms of sailing. And that can certainly be a helpful image. But in today's scripture passage, where we're focused here in Hebrews, there aren't any boats. There's no wind, only a running track and lots of screaming fans. That's because the writer of Hebrews brings us into the arena as runners in a great race of faith. In chapter 11, the writer has told us about many others who've already completed this race successfully. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and on the list goes. These are models of faith who have already completed the marathon, and now it's our turn. But we're not on our own, we learn. All the previous runners have now taken their place in the stands. Some of them are folks that we saw in those photos from last Sunday, brothers and sisters in Christ, who were here at the earliest days of our church's life and witness its construction, its building by the grace of God, not just as a facility, but as a God's people. Their ongoing presence, we're told, and their support in our life together in Christ now, here where we are, is a testimony that this race that we're in, it can be completed. You can finish it. With all the faithful in Christ, we're surrounded, we're told. The writer of Hebrews calls it this great cloud of witnesses. All God's faithful in Christ from time past, time present as well. Together, they're this great cloud of witnesses. They sustain us. They help encourage us and urge us on in this great race, our scripture says. But it's not as if we step onto this track and are already fully rested, we're completely nourished, we're totally refreshed, and we've got our Gatorade in hand. The writer acknowledges that we're already tired. We've already been competing in what feels like an unending marathon of faith, a marathon of obedience, trying not to give up on the outcome of our faith. And now we're being called to make it through the last leg of the competition, that last segment that leads to the finish line. Maybe in that regard, we can resonate with the folks to whom this passage in Hebrews was originally addressed. There's a preacher named Thomas Long who has tried to capture the mood in that particular community of Christians when he says, they're tired. They're tired of serving the world, tired of worship, tired of Christian education, tired of being peculiar and whispered about in society, tired of the spiritual struggle, tired of trying to keep their prayer life going, tired even of Jesus. Their hands droop. Their knees are weak. Attendance is down at church, and they are losing confidence. The threat to this congregation, he says, is not that they are charging off in the wrong direction. They do not have enough energy to charge off anywhere. Keep your eyes on the finish line, says the writer, the preacher to us here in today's text as well. Between here and there, there are all sorts of things working against us. Like I've indicated, there's fatigue. Literally fatigued, figuratively fatigued, spiritually fatigued. If you've been following Jesus for any length of time in your life, you know that staying this course is challenging. It's demanding. Sticking to the way of Jesus is costly. It requires emptying yourself for Christ and for the sake of the gospel. And along the way, there are constant challenges, steady trials, ongoing spiritual warfare. The battle with temptations continues. You heard that today in what Dora was sharing with our children and what we experience as adults too in our own lives. The struggle with sin goes on. Your spiritual muscles get tired, weary. There's an old tale that on the wall of a city phone booth was plastered a sticker that read, "If you are tired of sin, read John 3:16." And someone had scribbled right below it a handwritten message, "If you are not tired of sin, call 555-1176. Now, in a strange sort of way, if you're a follower of Jesus, one of the signs that you're trying to be faithful is that you're tired of the struggle with sin in your own life. You feel caught in that tension between being holy, being unholy. You know that you've committed yourself to a path that requires leaving behind old ways, but you haven't yet completely mastered those new ways in Christ. So there's this ongoing struggle with holiness and unholiness simultaneously. You want to make progress in the Christian life, but you look ahead and you see that the lane you're in when it comes to being like Jesus is filled with all kinds of obstacles and challenges and distractions. It is, as the writer of Hebrews says, you struggle against sin. There was a Monday night football game years ago between the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants. And one of the announcers noted that at that point in his career, running back Walter Payton of the Bears had covered more than 9 miles in running yardage. And another commentator said, "Yeah, and that's with somebody knocking him down every 4.6 yards. That's the way it can often feel in the struggle against sin in our lives. Overall, there's progress. You're covering some ground. You're moving forward, but not without plenty of things that want to stop your progress. So what are we to do? Well, get back to the race imagery in our text where it says, let us throw off everything that hinders. In other words, strip off the things that weigh us down. Get rid of things that are a drag on your progress spiritually. Remove, toss aside the things that keep you or hold you back from a smoother pace or a better pace in your spiritual race, in your walk with Christ. If you've ever followed the Olympics, you know that just a second or part of a second, or thousandths of a second can make the difference between getting the gold medal, or getting the silver medal, or getting the bronze medal, or getting no medal. It's no wonder that extraordinary steps are taken by Olympic athletes to counter the forces that might slow them down. During the 2014 Winter Olympics, the U.S. speed skating team made an appeal to officials for permission to change the uniforms that they were wearing, which had a vent on the back designed to release heat, but as they suspected, was actually creating a drag on their speed in their competitions. So Under Armour, which had made the suit, said, "Well, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll move heaven and earth in order to get the suits right." And eventually the team did get permission from Olympic officials to go back to the old suits without the vent. They still didn't win any medals, but you get my point. When we think of it in terms of this race of faith, we placed our hope and our trust in Jesus in this race, and we need spiritual Under Armour, whatever forms we can get, and whatever it looks like in our own experience, to reduce the drag, to throw off whatever's hindering performance when it comes to following Jesus. Our text again, throw off everything that hinders. and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, the choice of words here is interesting. This is the only time that the word translated as entangles is used in the whole Bible, just here. It can also be translated as the sin that so easily clings to us. And other possibilities are sin that surrounds us, besets us, distracts us. Whatever option we go with, the basic message remains the same, namely that we're urged here to get rid of anything that hinders us or encumbers us from running this race of faith. Anything that hinders our capacity to make progress in completing this course that's laid out for us. Part of what that means is that each of us has to look at his or her own life and see, by God's help, what those things are in our lives that hinder us in this race of faith and obedience. For that to happen, we need God's assistance to help see what's weighing you down. What's creating that drag on your pace with Jesus and in following him? What's tripping you up? What's creating this drag in your own movement toward the objective of our lives, the kingdom of God? It could be all sorts of things. Maybe it's a particular attitude or action that you have in your life that's hindering your progress. Maybe it's a particular pattern of behavior or a harmful, destructive habit that you've got. Maybe it's an experience from your past. Or maybe it's a fear about the future that you've got. Could be those things. Maybe it's just a stubborn refusal to repent or reform in your life. Maybe it's anxieties, addictions, ambitions. Maybe it's possessions or power, or for the yearning and desire for the attention and affirmation and praise of human beings and popularity. Maybe it's self-righteousness or sense of self-sufficiency or self-satisfaction. Or maybe it's a strong sense of just downright guilt and shame and failure in your life. Maybe it's resistance to forgiving somebody or to letting them forgive you or forgiving yourself. Maybe it's just apathy or complacency or indifference. Whatever is dragging you and me down, hindering us from our progress in this race of faith and obedience, we're told that it needs to be laid aside. That's the imagery here. Lay it aside so that you can advance in this race of following toward the kingdom of God. Lay it aside. Now, that doesn't mean that throwing off everything that's hindering you for more progress spiritually in your life is just going to happen instantaneously or easily. That's not the message here. We are called to have it happen, but also remind it doesn't happen just instantaneously or easily, but it does mean that by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, change is possible in you and in your life, and in who you are, and in your ways as you seek to follow Jesus. Change is possible, and you can move forward in God's purposes for your life and his kingdom. In Australia, they have a coat of arms, and the coat of arms has two animals on it. One is an emu, and the other's a kangaroo. These animals were chosen because they share a characteristic that appealed to the people of Australia. An emu is a flightless bird. It has three toes and thus can move forward only, not back. The kangaroo can't put it in reverse because of its tail. Now, the people of Australia in this case chose two animals to symbolize a big part of who they are because they're animals that can only go forward, not backward. And though in this race you've got described here in Hebrews today, there's no emu, there's no kangaroo, They aren't competitors with us in this race that's described in our text. I think they can certainly help us remember that the way of Christ always involves movement forward, progress in spiritual living for the sake of the kingdom. Look at how our text describes this. It says it's a race, the race set before us. In other words, what matters most is what's in front of us, not what's behind us. The past, like we saw last week, is important and valuable and precious, a part of who we are now in our ongoing life and mission, a gift of God. But it's not all that we are. What matters is moving forward, what's in front of us through Christ. Come back to our text here today. We're brought into this arena where there's not only a track that we run on, there's also a lot of fan support. In fact, the writer says that as we run this race designed to take us forward, one of the ways that God's grace is manifested to us is that we have plenty of fan support. Our scripture says that you're surrounded even now by all the faithful in Christ. The dead in Christ and the living in Christ. The fellowship of all Christ's people, the righteous in the Lord, surrounded by all the faithful in Christ. Remember that the community of God's people in Christ shouts its support for you. It really does. And urges you on in this race of faith that you're still seeking to complete on the way to the reign of Christ. So we're told that with this crowd around us, lay aside whatever is hindering you from following the course that you're brought onto by God's grace and mercy. Look away from whatever would distract you. Do as we sing in that offertory each week. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and all the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What's distracting you from focus upon Jesus and His glory that would take you forward in this race? Look away from whatever would distract you. Concentrate on Jesus, who has already reached the goal of the race, by keeping His focus, we're told, on the joy that was set before Him. He endured the shame and the agony of the cross and has already taken His place in glory, and now calls you, has done what's necessary so that you too could be brought to glory. And think of even now how He, from His own place and position of sovereignty and grace and love, gives to you the steadfastness and the endurance and the daily strength that you need to keep running this race, giving you what you need to put aside the encumbrance of sin, whatever it is, to overcome obstacles that oppose you, and by His grace and power to finish, complete this race that's in front of you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You for what You have already accomplished for us through Jesus Christ, who shares in Your glory and who wants to bring us into that glory as well. We pray that as we continue to run this race of faith and obedience, You help us to see the sin that's dragging us or hindering us. Help us to recognize the things that are distracting us from focus on Jesus. And give us the spiritual energy that we need by Your Spirit to press on toward the goal of Your kingdom in Christ. Thank You again for all your gifts that keep us going, especially for the community of all the faithful in Christ who continue to exhort us and cheer us on here this day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.